USA Radio News. I'm Russ Jones.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Well, that sounds like us, so this is our turn. Here we go again. It is all about Bucket Strategy Investing. You're tuned into the one show that gives you the strategies that you need. And may I say, it's the one program that gives you the best in money information. We do this every single day, and we're standing by once again to take your phone calls. I'm Johnny Dean, here with Professor Rick Plum. Now, this hour, we're going to start off with a discussion on alternative investments. And I should add this, perhaps more specifically, alternatives to bonds. We'll tell you why we're talking about that in just a bit. But alternatives to bonds, and what exactly would that entail, you might ask? Well, you got things like business development companies. They're known as BDCs. We got other well-known, more well-known products. You know, fixed annuities, fixed index annuities, stable value funds, etc. So we're going to talk briefly about what all these things are, who might consider alternative investments, and maybe some bond alternatives in their portfolio. That's all coming up here with Professor Rick Plum. And if you've got a question for the Brain Trust, you can give us a call right now. Our live in-studio on-air number, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We do have lines open right now, and they're ready for you to jump on in. We hope you do so. Emails, yeah, get those to us, wealthed.com at the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. So we've been telling you all this time. The professor, Professor Plum, our longtime trusted Brain Trust advisor, here again, courtesy of the folks at Lucia Capital Group who bring you this hour of the show, as they do every single day. If you need a bucket strategy put together, a plan specifically for you, one that fits your goals, you can call the professor or any of the advisors nationwide at Lucia Capital Group at their off-air number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Preparing yourself for whatever might happen, and a lot can. That's one of the keys to a successful retirement plan. They wouldn't remind you. You need to make sure that you have a plan for whatever might happen down the line. I'll say it again. This is complicated in nature, and you should not try to do it all on your own. Talk to the experts. And again, the number off the air, Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. On the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Now, Professor, we're going to get into this whole idea of alternatives, alternative investments, alternatives to bonds. But one of the things we're going to talk about first is BDCs.
Business development companies.
Business development companies. Now, since I said that, we're sort of locked into it.
Right.
Which means that
we have a disclaimer to read.
We need to tell you a couple of things because I know you people want to hear all this.
Whether you do or not, we have to say it.
Exactly. So looking at this. This is okay. All right. Here's what they're telling us to say. Ready? Investments in non-traded business development companies, BDCs, are subject to significant risks. These risks include, but are not limited to, limited operating histories, reliance on the advisors, conflicts of interest, payment of substantial fees to the advisors and their affiliates, and illiquidity. If you're able to redeem shares, they will generally be redeemed to for less than the original amount invested. Investing in these products may not be suitable for all investors. Of course not. This material should not be considered a solicitation of an offer to sell, buy, any specific security or offering. Investors should consult a financial professional to determine whether risks associated with an investment in the shares are compatible with their investment objectives. You should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of a non-traded BDC before investing. The prospectus which contains this and other important information. can be obtained from your financial advisor or the issuer directly. You should read it carefully before investing or sending money. Now, that's not all, Professor Plum.
Oh, that's not all?
Oh, is there more? Is that it?
I think that's it.
Usually cool.
The prospectus is the last thing they talk about.
Well, that's what I thought, but I thought I had another paragraph. Oh, cool. Well,
you didn't read enough? I thought you did that from memory. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that you read it.
I have read it before. Can I just say ditto what I said, 6 months ago when we talked about these things? I guess not. Anyway. All right, so there you go, folks. You'll be tested on that.
Well, now we don't have any more time to talk about them.
Well, here's the thing. There's a reason why you have to say that kind of stuff, because these things actually are regulated, but they come under the Investment Act of 1940.
Right.
And they were developed by Congress, these business development companies. And they are actually, securities is what they are.
Well, it is a security, and it fits into that alternative investment world, because it doesn't work just like a stock. It doesn't work like a bond necessarily. Obviously, it's not cash. It has its own risk and return characteristics. They can help some portfolios, and for some people, they shouldn't be anywhere near them.
All right, so what are they? Let's just go through that real quickly.
Well, you mentioned they were created they have to follow the regulations of the 1940 Act, but they were actually created back in the 1980. I think 1980 was when they were first created. And the desire was to let people get into small to mid-sized companies, sometimes private companies, help allow investors in to get realize some returns from those particular areas, which are very hard to get into. The smaller and mid-sized companies, sometimes they're even if they're publicly traded, they don't have a lot of volume and they don't have a lot of trading, so it's hard to get pricing in there. So what a business development company does is it goes in and a lot of these small to mid-sized companies need some help from, need capital. Come on, business needs capital to run.
Debt financing, equity financing, whatever it is.
However you get it, they need capital, whether it's by issuing shares, which they may or may not want to do, or by issuing a bond, which they may or not be able to do. They need capital to expand, to maintain ongoing operations. And so how do they create this capital? Well, one of the things they can do is go to a business development company. Now, the business development company can provide the capital. In many cases, it's in the form of a loan, but usually there's also strings attached to that loan in that there is some form of management going on with the business development company will provide management to the company as well, take over mm-hmm. in that area or lend management expertise in that area. And so it's a way. Now, somebody will say, well, why don't these companies just go borrow the money from the bank? Because the banks don't loan to them. Especially after, and this is why they've had such an increase in experience in the last couple of years, banks don't loan. I mean, they'll loan to a small company, a couple $100,000, maybe even $1 million. And if you are IBM or something like that, you can go to Wall Street and get loans. But the companies in the middle, the banks don't like to loan to them, and they're too small for Wall Street to get excited about loaning money to them or helping them out. So they don't have a ready source of capital to be able to create the money they need to do their ongoing operations. So they're kind of stuck in the middle, stuck in limbo. And with the regulations that came out of the Great Recession, it made it even more difficult for companies, small to mid-sized companies, either private or public, to be able to receive the capital that they want.
Yeah, so what you wind up having is a company that needs cash but can't get some from the traditional sources.
Right.
And you have a public who normally wouldn't have the wherewithal to invest in companies like this.
There's always been one place. Venture capital has been available to a lot of places to be able to go in. But venture capital has its own set of rules. It can't do certain things. It can't. But it's never been available to normal people to invest because it's really for the wealthy. So this is kind of not exact. It is not venture capital. But it's similar to venture capital in that it's providing funding for newer, smaller companies that are hopefully going to grow. It's different in that it is a regulated company and that you can, smaller individuals, you don't have to be some super wealthy accredited investor to get into it. You just have to meet certain income and net worth requirements that aren't astronomical. Your last name doesn't have to be Gates to be able to invest in this type of an issue. And so it's open to a larger portion of the public to be able to help and receive it.
So
now, these types of companies, we're talking about interest rates today. You can get a mortgage for what? Sub 4% on a 30-year mortgage fixed. These companies that are having troubles in the middle getting financing, they're not getting 4% loans. They're not getting 5% loans. They're variable loans for the most part. The money that's being provided to them is usually on some kind of an adjustment, you know, Prime Plus or something of that nature. But they're expecting to pay 10% or more for the money that they're borrowing. So there's a very decent, a very nice income potential for there. And what these business development companies do is they go out and they create these loans and these investments in these companies, and they get paid back through the interest that they're being paid on the loans, and they pass that through. And they're structured like a REIT in that as long as they're passing through 90% or more of the income, there's no tax at the entity level.
No corporate tax.
There's no corporate, which means they can pass through more to, you know, so their income tends to be a little bit on the higher side. Well, and it should be, because you're investing in smaller, less liquid, less, you know, marketable areas. And so you're going to be rewarded from the standpoint that you're taking some risk in that respect with a higher cash flow.
You know, and the things that I've seen on these BDCs, I had seen on REITs too, but the things I'd seen on these BDCs was, hey, you know, looking at 8, 9, 10, 11%,
I've seen 8s. I mean, some of the 9, 10, 11s, those are typically the traded ones where the price has been driven down because for whatever reason, the perception of stock of that particular area, Nobody wants to buy it, so the price goes down, but the income's the same as it was before. And when the income stays the same and the price goes down, the yield goes up.
Of course.
And so does that mean it's a buying opportunity? Well, it depends on why the price is down, and that's where you have to look at what's going on. And they do come in traded and non-traded varieties. Traded, you have to worry about the whims of the market going up and down. Non-traded, you have to worry about the illiquidity of it. What's right for you? Who knows? We have to talk about what is right and what is not right.
So they're business development companies. We'll talk when we come back a little bit about more about what they are and who might consider them, how they work, that kind of thing. And we'll also get into some other bond type alternatives. This is really more of an income play, is it not?
It's very much an income play. You don't expect huge appreciation out of it.
Exactly. So we'll talk about that if you need income. 877-PLANNER. You've got questions. We've got answers. Call the Brain Trust, answering your questions. When we come back, don't go away.
If you're investing in the stock market, you know there may be reward, but you know there will be risk. So consider this. Would you sacrifice some of the gain you may get with your investments if you could potentially reduce some of the risk and potentially cut some of your losses? If you answered yes, you need to learn about a risk buffer strategy. With a risk buffer strategy, an insurance company insures your investment for a certain percentage of loss over a given period of time, and you determine the level of protection you get. Watch a short video at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. That explains how you can potentially reduce risk when the market may be down, but still capitalize on stock gains. Can you find a way to manage risk in unpredictable markets? Watch the video at riskbuffer.com. Riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. At Lucia Capital Group, we believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education. Learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice. Get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning. Choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. WealthEd.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
There's a new answer for people in need of serious pain relief. Lidocare has created a one-of-a-kind pain relief patch that blocks pain for up to 8 hours. With the only non-water-based lidocaine patch on the market, Lidocare uses patent-pending technology to desensitize aggravated nerves for an odor-free, ultra-flexible, dry, and light solution to pain. The Lidocare Pain Patch from the makers of Blue Emu. For long-lasting relief, you can wear. Available at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
Napa Know-How!
Not all store brands are created equal. For example, when you buy Napa brand synthetic motor oil for $2.99 a quart, you're getting a quality product for a great price. Unlike buying store brand ketchup, good price, but with a funky kind of aftertaste. So pick up Napa full synthetic motor oil now for $2.99 a quart. The taste your car will love. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How! General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 8/31/16.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I remember when this was a hit. It had to have been about 74, 75, something like that.
Not still a hit?
I don't know. In my mind, it is. War. What's it good for? This song, actually. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. You got a problem with that?
You used a different song to introduce the band.
Well, no. That's the band's
name. I know
that's
the band's name.
Okay. All right. Anyway, 877-PLANNER. All right, we were talking before the break about these business development companies and how they work a little bit. Okay, so let's just see what happens. You give the company some money and you just get a income out of it. How do these things work?
Well, that's the goal. I mean, you put your money into a business development company, a company that creates BDC loans and things of that nature, and you're doing that because you want the income that's going to be generated. You can either do this through a publicly traded one, although there's not a whole lot of those, or a non-traded BDC. And they typically pay, like you said, they're paying higher than average interest, especially when you consider the value towards what a bond would be paying. What's a 30-year treasury, which is as safe as you can get, but a long-term time commitment, that's what, 2.5% now, 2.6, 2.7, 10 years, 1.55, 1.56, some in that area. So typically you're going to be expecting 6%+ cash flows. But you have to give up liquidity. Even though a bond has volatility, you could sell a bond on the secondary market. You can lose money on it when you sell it, but you can sell it. With a business development company from a non-traded entity, it's difficult to sell it, so you just have to hold on to it. So how do you evaluate whether or not you need something like this? First off, you have to understand that you do need to be able to withstand the lack of liquidity that they do represent. So you're buying them for a longer period of time. Now, unlike a bond, most of the time, or much of the time, the underlying loans that they're making are variable in nature. So if interest rates were to increase in the future, the interest that the company that borrowed the money is also going to increase. And so there's a potential increase of cash flow, which takes away some of the interest rate risk that a bond would normally have, a typical fixed interest rate bond would have. The fixed interest means that if interest rates go up, the value of the underlying security goes down. If the interest adjusts up, then it lessens the impact of that increasing interest rate. So you have to look at what's going on in the business development company. How are they creating loans? Are they going out and buying loans that are already on the books, or are they originating the loans to these companies? There's a lot to be said. Some people really like the BDCs that originate the loans, because not only will that company get the income, but it will also potentially get fees up front for creating the loan, points and things of that nature. So there is a potential for a little bit of extra pop, or at least some money to cover the expenses of the underlying assets on the BDC. Speaking of expenses, you understand what the expenses are. And what happens is they're traded, or they're sold kind of like a non-traded REIT, in that if you put your money in today, it's going to show up tomorrow as a lesser value, because there are upfront fees for buying into and creating these BDCs. So you're buying it for the income.
Yeah, now before you wouldn't have necessarily seen that. That's a little bit of a new thing with regard to the
disclosures.
It's
always
been and
the rules. There, but now you can actually see it.
You couldn't see it before, and they've made some changes to that. Okay, so this is why, again, we're going to talk more about this after the bottom of the hour, but this is why, again, we were talking about these things, business development companies, as perhaps some kind of a bond alternative. Because you know that if you invest in bonds and the interest rates go up, the value of your bonds that you have goes down. And people suspect that interest rates are going to be going up at some point.
Although maybe not that soon. And that's why the additional income that is generated from these is very attractive.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay, 877-PLANNER. I want to take a couple of calls. 877-PLANNER. Let's move along next to, let's put JJ next in Santa Clara, California. Hi, JJ.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hi, how can we help you today?
Little off topic. I'm looking to go to the Sacramento area to buy property.
Okay.
I was looking to buy a primary residence, but I wanted to know, should I consider doing an investment property and renting, or am I better off buying the primary residence and then trying to get into investment afterwards?
Well, so you're wondering, you're going to move to Sacramento. Is I'm hearing that correctly?
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you currently own a house where you live now?
Just sold.
So you just sold, so you have capital. So the question is, do I go to Sacramento and buy a house to live in, or do I go to Sacramento, rent a place, but buy an investment property?
Exactly.
Well, it kind of depends on what you can find from the investment world. And will buying the investment property help you cover not only expenses there, but maybe a little bit of the rent as well? Either way, you're going to get the potential appreciation of the area based on the real estate values in that area. So the appreciation is going to be similar. So the question comes down to, can you rent a place that you're willing to live in for such a low dollar amount that you could use, that you can, from a financial standpoint, it'll help you buy this other property as an investment. And between the two of them, the rents that you're receiving and then the lower rent that you're paying on your rent is a better financial deal. Or are the rents so much? Now, I know that in the area I live, my son ended up buying a property. He was looking to rent for 2 years until his new wife gets out of school, gets it done with her master's, and they were looking to rent, and it was actually cheaper for him to buy a place than to rent a place, the same place.
Have you looked at any of these prices there, JJ?
Yeah, I'm looking. It's tough because if I was going to buy an investment, I would buy a little bit smaller place than if I'm going to buy, for myself. That's the difficulty.
What about when you rent? What kind of a place would you rent?
I would rent a smaller place because I'm renting. But if I'm going to buy a personal residence, I'm going to buy a bigger place. You know what I mean?
But a lot of that has to do with where do you want to live? I mean, yes, you're going to pay more for the residence that you buy than you rent, but you're also going to get more. You're going to be more comfortable potentially. And anytime you buy, you also have the expenses of, maintaining that property as well. So a lot of this has to do with, are you comfortable renting a place? Are you willing to rent that smaller place, be in maybe a slightly less desirable property than the one you buy? I mean, some people say, no, I'm not willing to do that. I like the bigger place. I like the comfort. I like raising the kids there if you have kids, all these things that go along with the nicer property. Other people say, you know what? Bottom line is the dollar is the bottom line. I will, scrimp and save and rent a much smaller place and be a little less comfortable. And so a lot of this has to do with how you emotionally feel about it.
Great. Thank you for the advice.
Okay, JJ, thank you for the call.
We have to see what's more important to him. And can he find a place that he's willing to live in that is a lot less expensive than what he's buying? And then buying the rental property can make some sense.
I remember that. I remember figuring when I, years ago, as I was saving money and housing prices were a lot cheaper, I rented for a little while thinking that'll be all right. But I just hated the idea of putting all this money into something and not having any equity built up in it.
Right, but he's also looking at putting some money in, but it'd be a lower amount of money, but having an investment property, so he's experiencing the appreciation potential of the area.
And at the same time.
But trying to have a lower out-of-pocket and more money going into the investment side, building net worth quicker. But that you can make that work from a purely financial decision. But then it's also, to do that, you have to live in a place that maybe isn't as nice.
Right.
And you may or may not be willing to do that.
Well, who knows? All right, JJ, thank you very much for the call. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. We do have lines open right now, a few lines for you, 877-752-6637. Emails, you can get those to us at our website. You go there at wealthed.com, wealthed.com. We will be answering some of those sometime before the top of the hour and next hour as well. Also, more on these business development companies and alternatives to bonds, some possible alternatives to bonds if you're looking at those. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Some people willingly take on risk, like skydivers. They may find risk exhilarating. Most of us would rather avoid risk. When it comes to investing strategies, many investors want to keep their feet on the ground and reduce their exposure to risk. A risk buffer strategy through the purchase of an annuity contract is designed for investors who want the potential for growth when the markets are positive, potentially with some protection from losses when they're not. If you're concerned about stock market volatility and the threat of another market collapse, learn where a risk buffer strategy may fit in your investment mix. You may be able to cover losses to a certain extent when markets decline, but potentially enjoy a reasonable amount of growth when markets rise. Watch an informative short video to learn exactly how a risk buffer strategy works at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Lucia Capital Group asked what you feel are your greatest financial fears.
I'm worried about outliving our money.
Another market crash.
Taxes in our retirement.
While we may share concerns about saving, investing, and retiring, we each have a unique financial fingerprint and our own individual concerns.
We always worry about the national economy.
Inflation, healthcare costs.
Because every investor has their own challenges, Lucia Capital Group customizes a strategy for each client that addresses their specific goals and needs. At Lucia Capital Group, we understand fears of outliving your money, market volatility, and inflation. Learn how a bucket strategy can be designed to help address your concerns. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150 or click contact us at luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
Control, this is QL1. Everything looks good on my end. Prepping for liftoff. Over. One more thing, QL1. What's that, Control? You've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it?
Well, it's completely online. It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient. You can share your pay stubs and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates. And
hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason.
Yeah, go ahead and pick one. Anyone.
That's tough. They all sound great.
I think you're finally getting it, Control.
3, 2, 1. Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
U2 America TV. Featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Sometimes what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises. No anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. Owning a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz can be that anxiety-free experience on every level. You know you're in one of the safest and most thoughtfully engineered vehicles on the road. And with an unlimited mileage warranty, you can drive as far as you want for up to 3 years, with roadside assistance included. Your sense of confidence and adventure are as unlimited as the warranty itself. Now you can drive the car of your dreams and realize that nothing is everything. And during the certified pre-owned sales event, now through August 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and 0.99% APR financing on select models available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties. APR offer available only to qualified customers. Call 1-800-FOR-MERCEDES for details about costs and terms.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
We're taking your phone calls, 877-PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It's the Brain Trust, as we've been doing for so long now. We'll continue the tradition of helping you out with whatever money issues happen to be on your mind. Once again, we still have one line open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Let's go next to Linda in San Bruno, California. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I love listening to your program, and
thank you.
I have a question. I think I might have misunderstood what Ray Lucia said about investing the ETF GLD in an IRA account versus a non-IRA account. I think he said that if you purchase GLD, the ETF, in your IRA account, a K-1 form would be generated for a very specific reason. And I can't remember what the reason was, and I don't know if I heard him correctly or not.
Right. Well,
and I'd love to invest in the IRA, GLD, but I'm hesitant.
Well, an ETF is generally does not issue a K-1. Most of the time, they issue a 1099 if any dividend is paid or anything of that nature. However, there are certain commodity-based ETFs that do issue K-1s. Now, the one that you have mentioned right now does not issue, and their goal is to not have to. ETFs that are backed by the physical asset itself don't issue the K-1. So that particular one does not issue a K-1. But there's other ones that are that buy the futures, whatever you call it, contracts on the commodity. Those do issue K-1s. And where a K-1 is a problem, normally it's not a big deal inside of an IRA, unless the K-1 also includes something known as unrelated business taxable income, UBTI. And if it does have UBTI, which some partnerships will have, exchange-traded partnerships, or some certain commodity-based issues will create some of this alternative type of income. It's a phantom income. It doesn't actually show up as part of the cash flow that you're receiving. And if you create more than $1,000 of that in your IRAs, then your IRA itself would actually have to pay a tax. They'd have to file a 1041 form and pay a little bit of tax. But the GLD that you were speaking of currently does not issue a K-1. And in their prospectus, they are saying that they're doing everything they can to avoid ever having to deal with a K-1. It's not saying that they never will, but so far they haven't, and they haven't been required to issue a K-1. So it doesn't seem likely, in my opinion, that they'll have to deal with a K-1, and even if it does, it's unlikely that it'll create enough UBTI to make a problem. But there are certain ETFs that do have K-1s issued by them, and sometimes people just don't like dealing with them. Normally, a K-1 is just no big deal. It's like getting a 1099 for a stock that you own inside your IRA. What do you do with a 1099 from a dividend?
Just information.
It's just information to the IRA. It doesn't cause a taxable event. Some K-1s, not all K-1s. So it's only a handful of ETFs create K-1s, and a small handful of those will be a problem. The ETF you were talking about doesn't have a K-1.
I see. Oh, that was a very specific information that I kind of didn't fully absorb about the, like you were detailing it out. So apparently it never did, the GLD never did have a K-1 form generated.
I can't say never. I just know in the last five or 10 years that I've been kind of looking over it. I do not own it, so I'm not going to tell you that I know anything about it other than I have checked out the prospectus. I've read the prospectus, and they don't issue a K-1 at this time.
I see. And the problem I'm finding, or I would think that I might find with some something that did generate a K-1 form is, doesn't that force you to have to file your taxes a little bit later because you have to wait for that K-1 form to be generated to you?
Well, if you're buying it inside of your IRA, it doesn't force you to do anything because you don't include this on your tax return at all anyway. It's the IRA's problem. And unless the IRA receives K-1s, and on those K-1s there's unrelated business taxable income exceeding $1,000, the IRA basically ignores it. So it's not you that has to worry about filing your tax return on time or not. The money doesn't belong to you. You are a beneficiary of a separate trust that has this asset.
Oh, my goodness. It's very detailed. I'm glad I asked that. So even if it did in the future generate a K-1,
it's not going to mess up your personal tax return.
My personal taxes. And to compound that, it's even in a Roth IRA.
Well, and the only thing that happens is, let's say you did buy a partnership or one of the ETFs that does issue a K-1, and for some reason it created enough, you know, issues inside of the IRA. Your personal return has nothing to do with it. You don't show it on your personal return. You don't wait for it. You just do your personal return as normal. But over here in your Roth IRA or traditional IRA, whichever one you bought it in, if it does happen to create an issue where the IRA itself has to file the return, then the IRA would file the return, and that's completely separate from you.
Oh, okay. Very, very important information.
That it is, yeah.
I've been hesitant for the last couple of years to purchase a GLD, and now that I got more specific information,
I wouldn't let this stop you. I wouldn't let this be an incentive to buy or sell or anything. This is not the reason to buy or not to buy that particular security.
I see.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. Really, a lot of good information. And I totally appreciate your show and also Ray Lucia's. I've been a listener for several years.
Thank you.
It's really helped us.
Well, thank you.
Really,
all right. Linda, thank you for the call, and we appreciate the kind words. If you have any other questions or need to talk more about it, you can hang on. We'll get your number and have Professor Plum talk to you a little bit more off the air. K-1, simply just information, as you said, just like a 1099. Now, the fact that it's in an IRA, well, she said it's in a Roth IRA.
It's still an IRA.
It's still an IRA. It's not a problem.
No, not unless it creates that one UBTI thing, and more than 1,000, within all of her Roth IRAs, it creates more than $1,000 UBTI, which I don't
think
it will.
Unlikely to do, yeah.
And then the IRA custodian files a tax return for the IRA. But it doesn't affect her personal return in any way, shape, or form. It's not her tax situation.
No, it's the IRAs.
It's the IRAs. Just like if you receive a 1099 on, you know, you own XYZ stock and it pays a dividend, and they issue a 1099. But if it's inside your IRA...
And it stays in the IRA.
It didn't... Even if you took a distribution from the IRA, the 1099 belongs to the
IRA.
To the IRA,
yeah, and the custodian.
The 1099-R for the distribution you took from the IRA belongs to you.
That is going to mess you
up. That's yours.
Absolutely. All right, 877-PLANNER. Brandon next in Stuart, Florida. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you today?
Doing really well. Hey, got a quick question for you guys. I've been kind of told by a few people to go and buy more tangibles due to our political situation, also our $20 trillion debt deficit, and also a lot of the BRIC alliance. That's the Brazil, Russia, India, China alliance.
I don't know. You know,
I think the only tangible I'm looking to buy is lead. but that comes in the form of little shells and things. Now, I mean, it's should you be buying? I mean, there are a lot of people that sell commodities.
And they're the ones who are always telling you that here's the time to do it.
They come out with all kinds of studies that say it's good. I don't know whether or not now is a good time or a bad time. I mean, yes, we have a lot of political uncertainty. We almost always have political uncertainty.
We've had it for 200 years plus, Brandon.
Whether now is a good time, only time will really tell whether now is a good time. Should a portion of your portfolio be in tangible? Sure, you can put some money in tangibles.
Explain what you mean by that.
Gold, silver, things of that nature.
Yeah, and we have, you know, there are certain points in every year where somebody comes out and says, now is it, the world is coming to an end. They bring up this bogus $20 trillion of debt, which matters not. It never has mattered. And the reason they're telling you this stuff is because they have products to sell.
Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't shy away from these products. I mean, having a properly diversified portfolio may mean that you should have 5 or 10% in tangibles, because at times they tend to do very well when the market is not doing well. It doesn't always work that way, but in many cases it does. When the market's going down, gold and silver tends to go up, and vice versa. If we have inflation, it tends to... But the other side of it is you don't want to overload yourself either, just in case you're wrong. And typically, again, historically speaking, which means nothing about the future, small holdings have big effects on tempering the overall portfolio. Because when they do move, they move fairly well. They move fairly quickly.
But there are times when they move not at all.
Or they go the wrong way.
Or barely, or they go the wrong way, which can hurt you if you have too much. You know, I've heard people who sell these things. And when you ask them, how much should I have, the answer is invariably more.
Well, yeah, because I need to sell you more.
I need to sell you more. That's the problem. They always use some sort of political angle to it, and they tell you, the world is coming to an end, the sky is falling, and boy, you better own this stuff, because, when we're all living out of caves, the best thing to do is to be able to trade with gold. I don't know how they picked gold or silver or any of these things.
Well,
how
many years ago we were worried about the Greek issue?
Yeah, whatever happened to that.
Nobody talks about that anymore. There's always political uncertainty.
Yes, always.
And I don't think the two bozos running for office now can completely ruin our country either.
It's not going to happen. Brandon, that's the answer. Thanks for the call. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, answering more of your questions when we return.
Are you worried we may see another stock market drop like the 2008 collapse? In a new video, Ray Lucia Jr. comments on investor concerns.
They're worried about what happens when this bull market eventually ends and how severe of a downturn there may be for them in the future.
If you're looking for some potential protection from volatility, learn about the risk buffer strategy by watching a free video now at riskbuffer.com.
For those investors who want to take some risk off the table of their longer-term portfolios, a risk buffer strategy may be appropriate for you.
Depending on the investor, there are many ways this strategy may potentially be added to your investment mix. Please take 10 minutes to watch a free video in which Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy and how it may work for you at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group. This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and addressed their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Freestyle and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need back-to-school supplies for my son.
Well, Staples has everything you need at low prices every day.
He needs folders, binders, a backpack.
Sounds like quite the little organizer.
No, he's quite the little loser.
Come again?
He loses papers, homework, you name it, he loses it.
Ah, that kind of loser.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Back-to-school supplies are back for more. Staples has everything you need for back-to-school at low prices every day, like comp books for just 50 cents each. Staples, make more happen.
While supplies last, ends 9/17, limit 30 in store, 10 online.
This will get you started. I got to pay ASCAP in about 14 seconds.
Might be worth it.
It might be worth it.
And I was never a huge Stewart fan. I mean, but some of his songs just do it. I mean,
early.
Really
well, this is Faces. This is early, like 1971.
This was good.
That was great, man. It was great. Any kind of rock and roll, we'll take it. 877 Planner, PLANNER. There's another hour coming up in this program, by the way. So if you want to get on board, you can do so now or just wait till next hour. We also have some emails we're going to get to here. If you want to email the show, you go to our website, wealthed.com, WEALTH, wealthed.com, at the Find Your Answer link. We'll answer those emails here, of course, on the program, as we always do. But give us a call. We have lines open, 877 Planner. We were talking earlier about business development companies, and I do want to also get into some of the other ideas for alternatives to bonds. And I think maybe next hour we'll cover some of those in the first segment or two. But just sort of wrapping up this whole idea of business development companies, Professor Plum. Now, when you're lending to these companies, they're not really struggling companies, but they're
not
very big. How is it, though, that when you lend to these companies that they're able to kick off, you know, something greater than what you might be able to get in a bond?
Let's say that they can expand into new markets and increase their cash flow by 25-26% or by some multiple, and they're willing to pay 10-12% to increase their cash flow by 25-30%, or, you know, their return on the investment. You borrow, you know, $10 million and they can open a new store and they can increase, you know, they can get a cash flow of 20-30% on that $10 million investment. But they're paying the company they borrowed, you know, the money from, you know, 12%.
And the reason they're paying 12% is because they couldn't get that $10 million in the first place.
Well, they couldn't get it anywhere else. There's nobody else willing to lend it to them. But the ability to increase their revenue because of that new investment within their company is more than enough to make up for the cost of that issue. Otherwise, they wouldn't borrow it in the first place.
So now, how long is this money put away? Let's say you give them, I'm just going to throw out a figure, 100 grand. And I'm not saying you have to give them that, but let's just say you do. You give them 100 grand, you collect what? You collect quarterly checks or whatever it is?
Monthly, quarterly distributions for the foreseeable future. They're usually going to last 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the idea, but you have to be willing to put the money away for longer because there's no... It's a line in the sand. It's not a guaranteed out at that point. Now, some of them do have the ability to kind of try to put the money back to the company, but that's subject to board approval. So you've got to go into it with the idea that it's long term. But if you were to go into, and so the question is, are you buying a bond as a trading instrument that you're going to buy and sell and buy and sell, or you're buying it for the income, you're going to hold it till maturity.
And if that's the case,
if that's the case, then what are you buying, a 10-year treasury at 1.5%,
or almost 1.6 now
today, woohoo,
woo,
or are you buying something for a 10-year hold that's paying 6-8%? But they're obviously different amounts of risk. There's
yes.
no risk of default in one. You have to look at the underlying portfolio of the other to determine whether the risk is there or not.
Okay, so somebody's got to do that kind of due diligence before uh-huh. you put down. Because somebody might say now, well, if I put $100,000 into something, it's going to pay me 7%. Again, I'm making up these numbers, but I'm saying if I'm going to get a return out of this, I want to make sure I'm going to be getting this for the next 10
right,
years.
Right. So you look at the people that are doing, buying and selling or originating loans. What have they been able to show as far as their ability to make these loans in the past or buy and maintain these loans? Because a lot of times when you're buying the non-traded one, you're buying into a blind pool in some respects. You may know some of the investments that they've made, but they're taking your money and buying more. And so you want to look at what they've been doing and what their track record of doing what they said they were going to do is, so that you have a good idea of what they're going to do in the future and be able to manage it.
So your risk is what? That the company is not going to make it? I mean, in a real
estate
investment trust.
The risk is that they make poor loans and the company's default.
Are there a lot of companies that they're lending to?
There's a lot. It's not, you may put in $20,000, $50,000, whatever your number is, but the investment that you're buying into may be $1 billion. And they're making, and there's not one loan for $1 billion.
Right. So there are different
lots of loans for
different companies in this.
$20 million, $50 million.
And if one goes bust, the others.
Yeah, I mean that's always a possibility. I haven't seen that be a very big issue. The bigger issue is, are they timely with their payments as much as anything else? And so that's the kind of due diligence you want to do. So for somebody who is looking for an enhanced cash flow, who is able to withstand the illiquidity of it for a series of years. They can enhance the portfolio strategically. If you're looking at a bucket number one paying 1% or 2%, you have to put a lot of money in a typical bucket number one to draw it down over a period of years. If you can support or supplement that bucket number one payout, the distribution that you need from a higher income source, you can reduce the amount of money that you invest in these lower yielding areas, bucket number one. And so it can come in handy from a strategic standpoint if you have done your due diligence and you can afford the illiquidity of these particular investments. Now, you don't want to go too high. Say, well, gosh, those are paying so wonderful. I'll put 50%. No. Like anything else, moderation. Maybe 20, 25% total in the alternative world, of which this is a piece of the alternatives.
So the risk is what?
The risk is you don't get your distribution, or that the value of the loans goes down, or that the company, if it's non-traded, it goes traded, and then now people don't like it for whatever reason, and nobody's willing to buy it.
What about interest rate risk?
Well, again, you're looking at whether or not it's a fixed rate and how long it is between now and when the loans mature, or whether it's a variable rate and how long between now and when the loans mature. The higher the fixed rate component, the more interest sensitivity there is. But they're usually not 30, 40-year loans. They're usually 5, 7, 10-year loans at the most. So there's less sensitivity than a longer-term loan. But you have to understand how they're looking at doing it.
And, okay, so if interest rates go up, there's a possibility.
A little bit, yeah. So your value goes down a little bit, but you're still getting, the same income cash flow, which if you measure it out, you should still be well ahead of where you would have been with a typical bond investment.
Yeah, because we know with the bond investment, and that's kind of the reason we're talking about this, is because if you have a bond investment and interest rates go up and you got to sell that bond, you're going to lose some money on it.
Well, and so that's a disadvantage of a bond, that you could sell it and lose money. The disadvantage of the non-traded investment that we're talking about is you can't sell it, and so you just hold on to it until it matures. Now, there are fees. Understand what the fees are. And if you put $10 in, figure that not all 10 is going into a lending issue that's going to create income.
Maybe $8.50?
$8.50, $9. And so you're looking at what is the income that I'm receiving, and what is if they don't have any appreciation, if the loans don't go up, if they didn't get any origination fees to cover any of the expenses, if I go in at 10 and I get out at $8.50, but I was getting $8 a share for the period, what's my real rate of return? 7? So is that a reasonable rate of return for what you're doing?
Well, that's what you have to figure out. And due diligence could be done by your advisor as well. They need to do this. So these are business development companies. We're going to talk more about some bond alternatives next hour, different ones as well. If you need the brain trust off the air, talk about these things with Professor Rick Plum. In private, you can do so at Lucia Capital Group. Their phone number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Another hour just ahead. Stick around. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.